Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we share together in God's precious Word. Here's Senior Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Every other version, NIV, the ESV, all the other versions, they don't use the word Holy Ghost, they use the word Holy Spirit, because they would tell you, the ones who kind of translated these newer versions, that the King James Bible is wrong. It was translated improperly. And I'm here to tell you, there's not one word in our Bible that's wrong. It's all pure. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's 100% pure. And their argument is that it should be Holy Spirit, not Holy Ghost. Well, the reason that the translators did this, I did a lot of research on this years ago, and some of you have heard this before, that the reason the word Holy Ghost, which actually is used more than Spirit, Holy Spirit in our Bible, the term Holy Ghost, because that's his proper name. That's the name. We see that in Matthew chapter number 28. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when you see the word, so every time you see the word Holy Ghost mentioned, Bob, it refers to him as the person, as his name. That's his name. But when you see either the word Holy Spirit, capital S, or Holy Spirit, that refers to his work. You see the difference? There's the name, and then there's his work. And that's why it's translated that way. The Holy Ghost is the proper name, the Holy Ghost. And then the Spirit is his work. And we see that actually take place here in verse number 4, where they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and as the Spirit, that was the working, that's why it's translated that way. Are y'all following?
Yeah.
Just a little tidbit of information of Bible. It's interesting. Okay, verse number 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. This is very important. People from all over the world, these Jewish people had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And they would speak different languages, different parts of the world like we are today, Russian or Creole or whatever back then. You know, they all came together, spoke different languages. Verse number 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It's important to understand what we're talking about here about tongues. Again, I got to move on real quick. But the word tongues here is the word we get, it's the Greek word glossa, if I'm pronouncing it properly. We get the word, English word glossary from it. And it literally means spoken word, a language. It's not some kind of gibberish. It's not some kind of babbling that you would hear today, that guys could speak, teach you to speak in tongues in 20 minutes. It's babbling. It's not a language, a spoken language. They heard tongues in his own language, okay? Let's go a little bit farther. And they were all amazed, I guess so, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue where we were born. And then it lists all these different countries, the different people groups that were there that heard the people that were in that upper room. They came and they were able to speak in their language. Now, turn with me to backtrack to Mark chapter number 16 before we get into the book of 1 Corinthians. I wanted to give you a thought here. Mark chapter number 16. The Great Commission is given, verse number 15. And he, Jesus, spoke unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he that believeth is baptized and shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be saved, believeth not shall be damned. Again, I won't have time to talk about this, but he's not talking about baptism or regeneration. That's another lesson. But notice verse number 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Literally, these demons, they are able to cast them out of people. And they shall speak with new tongues, new languages. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So God gave the apostles and some other people these supernatural gifts. gifts of healing, of gifts of speaking in tongues, of these other supernatural gifts. Why? Look in verse number 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So you have to remember, at this time they did not have the word of God. They would go into a town without, they did not have a Bible to open. And so they would begin to proclaim the word of God in a new town, a new environment, even a new country. And they would actually be able to speak to them in their own language, in their own tongue, without having to go to language school. When me and Latrice went to in Kenya in 98, we went to a language school, Lemuru. I think Ernie went there to try to learn Kiswahili. Now, I wasn't very good at it, you know, but Latrice graduated at the top of the class, and I just graduated here. But I picked up my language better when I got around the village talking to people. But long story short, it was amazing to me that Pentecostals who believe in speaking in tongues, they have to go to language school to learn. It's kind of an oxymoron, is it not? You know, they have to go to language school to learn the language, but they'll teach and preach about speaking in another language, another tongue. Of course, they will tell you it's an angel, heavenly language, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I want you to see the point here. The thought was they would be able to go somewhere and speak to them the gospel in a language that they could understand. They go to Russia back then or whatever, never learning Russian, they would be able to share the gospel with them in Russian. You get the picture. That's what it means when the Bible speaks of unknown tongues. It's unknown to the one who was speaking it. He had not learned it. And all of a sudden, it's brought forth to the ears of the hearer that they understand the gospel message. And it's confirming the word, what was spoken. That's the reason they had the gift of healing. How do we know what this fellow is saying is true? Because of these great signs that was following. It was from of God. So with that in mind, let's turn 1 Corinthians. The remainder of the time will be in 1 Corinthians. But notice, very important, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 22, Paul is writing to the church here at Corinth who had real problems with these gifts. And remember, we did a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Corinthians a couple years ago. And boy, they just loved those gifts, you know, and they were filled with pride and arrogance because, hey, I can speak in a tongue. Well, looking from the very beginning, look in chapter number 1, verse number 22. And it's very important to understand this. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. I don't have time to dig into this, but the speaking in tongues was a sign for those Jews at the very beginning. Matter of fact, we see it happening not just on the day of Pentecost, we see that in Acts chapter 2, where all these devout Jews had come. For the Jewish people, they designed. And then we see in Acts chapter number 10 where it fell on the Gentiles. But it was for those Jews who didn't believe that Gentiles could be saved. Remember that? This is yes, this is no. Where those Gentiles in the house of Cornelius began to speak in other tongues. And because the Jews said, well, surely Gentiles can't be saved. Well, they did because they were given that gift of speaking in tongues. And that was also a sign for the unbelieving, believing Jews. You get that? The believing Jews who did not believe that Gentiles could be saved. So it was a sign for the Jews, both for the believing Jews and then the unbelieving believing Jews, if that makes sense to you. And so we see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 that it was a sign, and the Jews required a sign. Matter of fact, if we get into eschatology, today we are not looking for a sign. Everybody talks about signs of the time. We as Gentiles, we don't look for a sign. We know the times are drawing near, obviously. But all through the book of the Revelation, there are signs and signs and signs. And those signs are for the Jewish people.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.